Hello, everybody. Welcome to Panning the Stream. My name's Dan. You got Bonk over there.
That's me.
How are you doing?
Good. To the listeners at home, Dan just gave me permission to say this, so I'm going to say it.
Oh, really?
It's November A.
Okay. A few things about that. Permission. You can say whatever you want to say anytime you want to say on this podcast. This is me and you talking to the folks at home. Thing is, though, sometimes we got to bank a few. And so sometimes they're, you know, the thing you're hearing in your ears there as you walk around.
I know which ones
are the ones. I'm explaining to the folks.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm just saying that's why it's like, I know which ones are timely and which ones are more that we could just put in the chamber and, you know, when we want like to take a week or something.
It's true, but this one is especially coming in hot. So I was thinking beforehand, it's like, man, this is going to be going out to the folks very soon. Mm. So if you wanted to just talk about November, you can talk about November.
It's the month of my mother's birth.
Yes, yes.
Thanksgiving.
Yep, sure is. Cornucopias.
Mm-hmm. Whispers of Christmas around the bend, or the holiday season, if you will.
You saw your first Christmas ad today on the morning TV.
It was a commercial for Starbucks drinks.
Right, Starbucks Christmas drinks, right?
Which is absurd that they have to advertise, especially in New York City, when there's literally a Starbucks on every single block.
My dad has always said this thing about advertising for a company as big as Starbucks, and I've always been curious about it. I'm sure there's reasons that no one's ever tried this, but he said, like, if he was suddenly woke up and was CEO of McDonald's or Coke or something like that, he would be like... Okay, we're going to try this thing where for 1 year, we're not going to spend a single dollar on advertising. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for those brands that are so ubiquitous and it's just like, everyone knows McDonald's and Coke. Like, mm-hmm. I've never seen a Coke ad and that's changed my Coke mm-hmm. buying habits. So, like, I think that's a clever – or that's an interesting concept of, like, how much would that affect the bottom line? Because they spend hundreds of millions of dollars probably on advertising every year.
Yeah.
Biggest Super Bowl ads and all that stuff. You know?
Yeah. Five Guys doesn't advertise. And I remember reading, despite not advertising, they do very well.
That's interesting. Yeah, because Five Guys is nationwide. They're mm-hmm. a huge chain. Beloved.
I could see, like, you know how McDonald's will have occasionally, like, oh, here's our special limited time burger.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So buy it now while supplies last.
Yeah, or like, hey, the Shamrock Shake is back. Or, hey, you know that Disney thing? We got those Happy Meal toys.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It does kind of change.
McRib.
Maybe Coke is a better example because Coke, it's pretty rare that they introduce like a new flavor or something. You know, like Coke, a can of Coke is a can of Coke, you know?
I agree. I wonder if the younger generation...
A generation next?
Hasn't been indoctrinated into like accepting Coke as just a mainstay. Coke being like synonymous kind of with any cola.
It's so bonkers to me hearing, like, I know plenty of people with kids nowadays, and I'm sure parents did this back in the 80s too, but like that, like their kids have never tried soda and they just don't, they won't have it in the house. And it's just like, what the I drank more soda than water for most of my life.
That is not good. You drink more soda than water.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm just the concept of like a 10-year-old kid or something that's like never tasted soda.
I remember my cousin, her house was very health focused, my cousin Kara. And then when she used to come over our house, we would have whole milk in the fridge, which she would just indulge in like crazy because it was, I guess she was used to skim. We had whole,
So I would see whole milk as like a health drink, you know? No, seriously. Honestly, yeah, I'd be like, oh, I didn't know we were eating broccoli here.
Fun fact about Dan's dad, he has a glass of milk with every meal.
Well.
Because apparently he's secretly an 8-year-old boy.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect because I'm just trying to think of ways to help my dad get a little healthier and stuff. He always had milk in the fridge, but I asked him, like, how often do you drink that? And mm-hmm. he was like, oh, every meal. Like, usually a glass with every meal. It's like, well, okay, well, switch to almond milk. Turns out that's totally fine and, like, way less calories and everything.
Is he sticking with the almond milk?
I think, yeah. I've talked to him a couple times since he switched over. And, like, I think the thing that I didn't anticipate he would love as much as he does mm-hmm. is that the expiration date is longer.
Oh, yeah. You can just, as long as you have almond milk, you could have it for, like, 6 months and it won't go bad.
You can leave that like in the cupboard with your cereal boxes and
well,
stuff.
Well, I wouldn't do that. But
when they sell it in the boxes, it's not refrigerated.
Well, yeah, but they sell milk that way too. Like Parmalat milk is sold in containers.
Parmalat
like...
milk?
Parmalat, yeah.
The hell is Parmalat?
It's milk that's sold in those kind of containers.
I've never heard of such a
Razor,
thing.
Cut
what
it
is
up.
Razor doing? Razor.
He's digging under our bed.
He found his orange fuzzy ball
just
under the bed.
Just leave it, bud.
I'm not throwing that, bud. We're doing a podcast.
Yeah, it's just like how you find the almond milk in the containers that are like the cardboard containers, yeah. Non-refrigerated. Yeah.
So is it dairy?
Yes, it's dairy.
Parmalat? What is a parmalat? Is it like a flour?
I don't know what that word means, okay, but that's okay. The brand. I remember my grandma used to have that milk.
This sounds like some weird New Jersey thing.
It's not a New Jersey thing. I think
you this can is like get the Taylor anywhere. Ham of milk.
It's not the Taylor ham of milk.
Well, I don't know.
Here's the one place I would definitely advocate for whole milk over almond milk or soy or whatever kind of milk.
Can I guess?
Yes.
Coffee.
Yes.
I knew you were going to say that.
Whole milk in coffee, if you're a person that likes to make their coffee lighter, whole milk is the best thing to put in coffee. It's better than half and half. It's because it tastes better. It's not just that it's like lower calorie or whatever. It actually tastes better. But it is one of the higher calorie milks. I'm not saying it's low calorie, but compared to half and half.
You're just putting a splash into a thing of coffee. You're not drinking a big old glass
of
every meal.
No, totally. Just a little bit goes a long way. But yeah, definitely put whole milk in your coffee. It's divine.
Speaking of a little bit goes a long way. We watched a show on Amazon Prime that's just 8 short episodes.
Oh, 8 little 20-minute nuggets of cool psychedelic visuals and crazy, trippy space-time continuum.
Rotoscoped animation. Yeah. Yes, we watched Undone. It's one of the... how many times have we actually done like an Amazon original? Like, we have watched stuff that we found on Amazon, like Goonies or whatever.
Yeah.
Ghoulies. We watched Ghoulies. I have not seen Goonies.
Yeah.
I don't think we've done like an Amazon original. They do that, what's that, Man in the High Castle, Fleabag. Like, they've got a few things.
Their catalog of original content isn't as extensive as or as notable as like, you know, Hulu has, you know, Handmaiden's Tale. Netflix obviously has countless exclusives.
Yeah.
And original content. Prime Video has Fleabag, which is great.
I've heard that's really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, so I'm glad to do something on Amazon because we just haven't done a lot of that.
Yeah, Amazon has if you want something weird, go down the Amazon rabbit hole and they'll have some weird videos that you would never find on Netflix.
And it's really good about, like, you'll just find some weird, like, oh, I'm looking at the page for Chopping Mall, and all of a sudden it's like, people who watch this also watch, and it's like, oh, here's 20 other weird horror movies I've never seen.
Yeah.
So, but this is an Amazon original, 8 episodes, 20 minutes. It's like a 3-hour long thing if you just want to sit down and watch the whole thing. Mm-hmm. We burned through it pretty quick. The episodes are very snappy.
Yeah.
I thought.
Yeah. And it's extremely gripping the whole way through it.
I loved it. And like, I think an easy way to sell somebody on it is if you aren't familiar with it, watch the trailer, like look it up on YouTube. Like, it's got a very distinct animation style where it was shot live action and then used rotoscope animation on top of like oil paintings in the background and everything.
Yeah, the backgrounds are oil paintings and they like project the oil paintings over 3D spaces so that the characters can actually like walk through this oil painting and it looks like it's a real physical space.
It's awesome. Did you watch that making of video?
I did, yeah. That was really, really cool. That was really, and the show totally takes advantage of this amazing animation style that it has by just giving the most like crazy, trippy visuals and stuff.
Yeah, because like a huge conceit of the show is like, is this reality or is this inside? Our main character Alma's head because, you know, there's signs that she might be succumbing to schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. So it just gives it kind of carte blanche to just do all sorts of cool, crazy things with the animation style,
right.
Which I guess if you've seen things like Waking Life or Scanner Darkly, it's kind of a similar type of like live action looking animation with the rotoscoping. But I would say this is the best version of that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like the shading and everything and,
right.
And the painting backgrounds and just killer stuff.
Yeah, this isn't a straight up rotoscope job. This is like a kind of thing that type of animation that I've never really seen before.
Yeah, and watch the behind the scenes thing if you're interested on YouTube. It is obviously extremely talented people working on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall the whole show did an amazing job of kind of feeling like a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at times it's just like, oh, all of a sudden I'm in this place, and all of a sudden I'm here, and oh wait, I don't remember how I got here.
Right.
And you know, the more surreal animation stuff I think does a great job.
Yeah,
of that.
It blends. The two realities, one being reality that everyone knows and accepts, and the other being the reality that only Alma can see. And it blends those two together so seamlessly to the point where, like, it'll just, like, flashbacks, instant flashbacks, you know, jumping through a mirror, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just crazy, trippy stuff like that.
It's really cool, too, because it brought in and mentioned kind of concepts that I'm familiar with through, like things like meditation and lucid dreaming. They were bringing up things like she said several times the try to not try thing.
Try not try.
Try not try. Yeah. And that's kind of a similar concept in like meditation is like you're trying to find this period where you're not thinking really and you're just kind of focusing on your breath. But then like if you notice, like if you're trying too hard, and you're, oh, I think I got it. I think I'm there. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you're trying too hard. You need to just kind of like ease into it and not be trying really hard because that kind of takes you out of it. Sure. And so like hearing those type of terms in this fiction and everything, it was really cool and added to the whole just kind of like cool, trippy, dreamlike state of everything.
Yeah, it was really, really well done. And a big question throughout the entire show is what we're seeing just a product of her, you know, slipping into schizophrenic state or whatever? Or is it like, does she actually have access to these powers that let her manipulate time and space? Or is it somewhere in between where her schizophrenia allows her to access these powers?
Yeah.
And she, so her grandmother was diagnosed with schizophrenia, and she doesn't really have any memories of her grandmother, but I guess she's heard that she was difficult to be around, that she was like a monster is what she described her as at one point. And we learn at a certain point that her father, around the time of his death, started exhibiting some signs of schizophrenia as well.
Right.
So, you know, we could then assume that maybe it is what she's suffering from, or at least that's, you know, what everyone around her would assume based on her behavior. Because a lot of the times for us watching it, we have the context because we see Bob Odenkirk, who plays her father, Jacob. We see Jacob talking to her. We see what she sees. So for us, it's easy to accept her reality as the true reality the show is presenting. But in the last few episodes, there are a lot of scenes where Jacob isn't present and we just see Alma and we just see the context that everyone else is seeing. We just see her like stripped away from that, but her behavior is still, you know, she's still acting as if she's seeing these things, and I'm sure she is, but we as the viewer, it's kind of like we're looking at it from the perspective of her family members. Mm-hmm. And it is like those last two episodes, like there were a lot more times where I thought to myself like, oh, this is concerning. She's obviously like troubled.
Right. Where you would see like, you know, Sam, her boyfriend, or her mother talking to her, and all of a sudden she's turning and talking to someone that's not there.
Right.
And it gives you that different perspective. Cause yeah, it is, it's not in first person, but like you are seeing, you know, these things that might be hallucinations or inside her head.
Right.
We as the viewer are seeing her talk to so Jacob, her father, Bob Odenkirk, is dead. So he died in a car crash, and early on it's basically like he reappears to her after she has a car crash and goes into a coma, and the whole conceit is like, oh, I was murdered, you know, when you were a child on this Halloween night, so go back and solve my murder.
Right.
And so we see just a ton of that, especially in those first, you know, over the first half of the show. And it does not, even at the end, it doesn't make it totally clear by design. You know,
yeah, I think the ambiguity, obviously, it's intentionally ambiguous. We don't know if there is a second season in the works. I don't necessarily think it needs a second season. You know, I don't think everything needs a definitive end.
Right.
I think there are a lot of points in the show that suggest that you could argue are proof that her powers are real, but I think if you look deeper, it's actually not really proof that her powers are real. And like those instances I made note of were like when she was able to reverse time after revealing to her sister's fiance's family that her sister had been cheating on her fiance.
Right.
When she was able to describe in detail like the tragic backstory of this guard, the campus security guard. When she tells her mom that she knew her parents had a fight the day that her dad died, you know, stuff like she would only know that information if she was able to, you know, actually if those things that she saw were actually real. But I think that there are certain things that give me pause, like the fact that her father Jacob doesn't remember anything about the night he died. The last thing he remembers is leaving Alma on the street.
On Halloween, when they're trick-or-treating, yeah.
He leaves Alma to go to the lab because Alma's mom is looking through her lab looking for Alma. That's the last thing that Jacob remembers, and that's Alma's last memory of her father, of Jacob. So it makes sense that, you know what I mean? It's like, of course that's the last thing he would remember because that's the last thing she remembers of him. You know, if he had this insight into what actually went down specifically,
right.
You know what I mean? It that would like nullify the whole point of the show. But then there's the big thing about her actually being able to see what happened in the car, whether or not that was real. I mean, maybe it could be if it wasn't real, if it was a figment of her imagination or a product of her psychosis. I don't know how to describe it.
Right.
You know, Jacob wasn't a good guy. He made some questionable choices as a dad, and he's proven kind of several times throughout the show that he didn't really care about his kids.
And they definitely like prioritized work over all else, you know.
So maybe she could connect the dots in her mind that he behaved selfishly her entire life, that he would die in a very selfish way. But again, it could be that she actually was there and she actually did see it firsthand. The show plays with the ambiguity a lot to the point where it's almost like, well, it doesn't really matter if it's real or not. You know what I mean? That's a big question looming in the show, but whether or not it's real, she's obviously experiencing this stuff, whether or not it's a product of her schizophrenia. She herself is experiencing it, and we're there along with her. So
yeah, all these talks with her dad and the visions that she's seeing, and sometimes they get, you know, very surreal.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is what she's experiencing. Mm. So earlier you said, you know, doubting whether or not she was actually there. Are you talking about the actual death of her father?
Right, when she was in the car.
When she was in the car?
Well, when she was there witnessing what happened.
Like in the woods or whatever? Because I remember she was down there.
Well, she was actually in the car with Firnaz and her dad. I mean, not actually, like at the time, like her astral self was there.
Right.
Or whatever they call it in the show.
So
she was able to witness what really happened. And what happened was that it was a murder-suicide.
And so I guess there is the possibility that that is actually an accurate representation of the death. And then also it could just be another, you know, figment of her imagination.
Right, based on his like selfish behavior throughout.
Yeah. And there's some really interesting stuff where it's like, I thought Jacob was handled really well, and Odenkirk always does an amazing job. Mm-hmm. Of like, you know, he would talk about all this like deep metaphysical stuff and everything, but also then getting like a very fatherly thing about like, oh, you don't know how to drive stick? Like,
yeah.
You never, like, I thought that was handled really well. All of the relationships between the family members, mm-hmm. I thought were extremely well done, like fully fleshed out characters. Like,
totally.
This kind of controlling mom, Camilla, the sister Becca.
Well, yeah, Camilla's controlling, obviously, but she obviously just really cares about her daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Super worried about her, as I think any mom in that position would be when it seems like from her perspective that her daughter is losing her mind.
Totally, yeah. And then, you know, those are kind of complicated relationships with all the family. They obviously all care about each other a lot, but they also seem to drive each other nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sam, the boyfriend, there's a whole shitty thing where it's like they broke up before she went into a coma,
mm-hmm.
before Alma went into the coma. And then when she woke up, she forgot about the breakup and he just acts like everything's fine. So like there's some complicated stuff with that and everything. But I really just thought the way all these people played off each other, these characters, it felt, that's coming through.
Helicopter.
What do we got there? You got a helicopter?
Sometimes helicopters will be flying low over the East River and it just picks up.
Yeah, normally it's the nonstop construction during the day that happens, like what feels like 20 feet from our window here. And then we get
it is 20 feet from our window.
Yeah, it's and you work from home, and I'm sure that's just a blast.
I'm kind of used to it.
Oh, we'll get out of here soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really, really did love the way all these characters played off each other. They also, the way they described like her quote-unquote powers, I mean, because again, we don't know if they're actual powers or whatever, but early on, she's trying to learn how to kind of manipulate time and memory and things like that, and Odenkirk is kind of trying to teach her how to harness this. It almost reminded me of, did you ever read Slaughterhouse-Five?
No.
So there's
Kurt
like
Vonnegut?
Yeah, yeah. So there's this race of aliens in the book that like, also we don't know if it's real, it's kind of like unreliable narrator thing, if I remember right, but they see time as not this linear thing. So like if they looked at a person, they don't just see a 30-year-old guy or whatever. They see like a linear thing of just like every stage of life he's ever been in, from like baby to death and everything and rotting in the ground. And it made me think of that when early on she's witnessing her mom sitting bedside at the coma and she's like turning to a skeleton, rotting, and then being born and then like growing. Like that reminded me very much of that type of concept.
Interesting.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And again, like in this medium with this art style, like they can represent this stuff really in a really cool visual way, I thought.
Yeah.
Trying to think of what else here. Any other notes here? Did you feel like the marital problem stuff, do you think that came on kind of suddenly at the end, or do you think that's maybe kind of how they wanted it to be?
The marital problems between Camilla and Jacob?
Yeah, it makes it clear that, you know, there were some issues with, like, you know, she thought that maybe he was in love with his assistant, Firnaz?
No, I think that, you know, it had them fighting in like, an early episode. It had a memory that Alma had of them fighting in the bedroom. And then also just Camilla's reluctance to even talk about her father.
Yeah.
Talk about Alma's father. Kind of suggested that there was some animosity there. And we learned that they, you know, wanted to... We're going to divorce right before he died.
Right.
Which, as far as the ending goes, or not the ending, but the conclusion, like a big mystery of the show, in addition to which reality is the real reality, was how did Jacob die. Because right. he thinks, or he argues that he was murdered. But again, he doesn't remember anything past leaving Alma. So he thinks that he was murdered because powerful people were after the research he was doing. He was doing like time travel kind of research.
Right.
And what ultimately happens, like we mentioned earlier, was it's shown that like after he gets into a fight with Camilla and Farnaz says, oh, you know, I'm going to turn you into the board because these experiments we're doing are illegal and immoral. You know, he was doing experiments on Alma and stuff.
Right.
He realizes like, oh, what's the point? I have nothing to live for. I'm just going to die. Like that felt so extreme to me. You know what I mean? That felt like such an extreme turn. I couldn't like that is not something I could have predicted watching the show. It just I feel like it came out of nowhere because he in all the memories that Alma had of her father, he never it was never suggested that he was at all kind of depressed or losing it. You know what I mean?
He was pretty positive.
He seemed positive and. Obviously, what he was talking about was, for anyone in reality, would be crazy stuff. But obviously, in the context, it makes perfect sense, you know, in the context that Alma sees it. So, it, for me, it kind of came out of nowhere. And it felt like kind of a little bit of a sloppy end to that portion of the story.
The suicide?
The murder, like, having it be a murder-suicide.
Right, right. Yeah, he just didn't, it didn't seem really true to the character, you know? And who's to say if that is what really happened? But yeah, if that is what is implied really happened, that did seem like a harsh turn
yeah,
for the character.
Yeah, totally.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I thought it was interesting that, like, you know, I am not an expert by any means on schizophrenia, so I don't really know if this is indicative of that condition. But, like, the kind of conspiratorial stuff that I wonder if, you know, she has all these thoughts about, like, being experimented on and about him doing this, like, deep time travel research. And there was this, like, shady corporation with this guy that maybe killed him for, you know, his technology or his research or something. Like, it... Who knows? Maybe he was just like a more standard academic professor or something, and just in her state or whatever, she kind of built this elaborate fiction of him like working on, you know, he's doing studies on the brain and like these like fluid pockets and things like that. Like, you know, is that really what he was doing in real life, or did he have a more mundane thing? And in her state, she's kind of weaved this whole tale, you know?
Right. Yeah. And a thing to remember too is that all this stuff for her started to emerge after her car accident.
Yeah.
And her doctor says, you know, it might be like a PTSD kind of thing. So it makes sense that this would align with some kind of traumatic brain injury, you know?
Yeah. And it's hard to say because like there are flashbacks. And so I don't even think that we can like look at those flashbacks with any confidence about that being the true order of events, because like everything's still kind of from her perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like even her memories that we are seeing could be like compromised by her condition.
Yeah. The one thing we could say with certainty is that everything in the show is from her. It's real to her. It's
100%.
Yeah, it's real to her.
Yeah, and the way those around her kind of dealt with that was really interesting. Just hear them just kind of hearing her out and being like, this doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. You seem ill, but like,
yeah, I feel like the most distilled version of that, like where it seemed really troubling was when she was at work, because she worked at a daycare.
Yeah.
And her boss, this guy Tundi, who's actually like, you know, really genuinely concerned for her and very patient with her, was the one that would confront her with, like, the fact that everything she's doing is really weird, like jumping into a mirror or,
right.
you know, just acting, like, talking about inappropriate things with the kids, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that, I feel like that whenever there was a scene in the daycare, that would anchor me back to being like, okay, she's obviously going through some shit right now.
Yeah, and, like, those around her are just being put in uncomfortable situations where it's like, we can't let you keep doing this,
right.
but we also don't want to come down on you for being mentally ill. Like, yeah. Also, I one character that I thought was played to perfection was just dopey-ass, was it Reed? Was that the guy?
The fiancé.
Yeah, I don't know who that actor was, but he did a great job of just being, like, just the most dope. I felt like I went to high school with that dude a million times over. You
yeah,
know, like,
yeah.
Totally.
He reminded me of some people, for sure.
Yes.
He seemed nice enough, but, you know.
Yeah, and the Alma actress, Rosa Salazar.
Yes.
I looked her up because it's like she looked vaguely familiar, but I didn't know what from. And then I realized I'd seen that Alita Battle Angel trailer a lot.
Mm, yes.
And so she is, like, obviously it's way exaggerated
in CG.
She's
the Battle Angel.
She is the Battle Angel, yes. But I thought she played that role with a lot of, like, energy and, like, you know, she's funny at times, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Genuinely funny and, like, not over the top.
No, not at all. Like, it felt like a real person.
Yeah.
You know, like, the dialogue and everything I thought was extremely well done mm-hmm. here. Yeah, overall, I feel like we both came away really positive from that, right?
Definitely. I'm really glad we watched that.
Yeah, and if they did a second season, I would absolutely watch it and just kind of see where they go from there. But I could also see it being this kind of self-contained thing where it's like, they told their story, but I do think there's more they could do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it seems like the possibilities are kind of wide open.
Right.
Based on just the whole concept of Alma.
Right. Well, the last scene, I guess we should talk about the very last scene.
Sure, yeah.
She goes to Mexico, to this pyramid in Mexico, after she aligns the timelines to meet her father. She expects her father to emerge from this cave, emerge from this pyramid. And she's waiting there, like, for a really long time. And eventually Becca, her sister, comes and... Becca's, like, not at all trying to make her seem like she's a crazy person.
No.
Whenever she's being hearing her out and, you know, listening to her and being patient with her and waiting with her all night. And ultimately in the morning, Jacob doesn't appear. And as the audience, it's like, okay, well, this, you know, reaffirms our suspicions that, you know, this was all just a product of her mental illness.
Yeah.
But then the very, very last scene is her, like, witnessing some kind of light emerge from the pyramid. We don't see what it is. And that suggests that maybe she was right, but it also could just be like, okay, she's just going to double down on this vision that she's having and, you know, give in even further to her mental illness. So.
Yeah, and even if he did emerge, like, who's to say that that's, you know, it worked. Like, the timelines merged and he's actually back in the tangible realm, you know.
Right,
like,
yeah.
We still can't. And I don't think we ever need that answer if they do more seasons. I think you can leave that a mystery.
Right, yeah.
That's one of the fun things.
Totally. If Jacob emerged from the cave or the pyramid... you know, where would they go from there? It'd just be Jacob reintegrating into 2019 society?
Yeah, I don't think that would have been a satisfying ending. So I do like the mystery around this, and it's a mystery that I just don't think they need to spell out or hit you over the head with. It's just kind of fun wondering with this show, you know?
And like I said, everything that we're saying is real to her. So
totally.
And it's her experience.
Yeah.
So yeah, in that respect, you know, it's just a really captivating show visually.
Yeah.
The ideas that it talks about time travel and all this philosophical stuff too.
Yeah.
Handled
really, really well in a short period of time. I feel like they really made amazing use of time in just like introducing all this stuff and telling a compelling story.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it's on like 100% at Rotten Tomatoes. Like this is I hope this show does well.
That's awesome.
For Amazon. They did great work on it.
Yeah, totally.
Yes. So that'll be it for Undone on Amazon Prime.
We are done.
We are done with Undone.
Undone, the TV show based on that song by Korn.
Yes. Yes. How's that go?
I don't really remember.
Is that the one with the art where it's the girl on the hopscotch thing?
Because
I remember
every
kid in junior high had that album.
Freak on a Leash or
that
something.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
No, I think this music video had like Sarah Michelle Gellar in it or some shit.
Okay. Well, we want to thank everyone that has supported us on Patreon. So if you go to paintingthestream.com or patreon.com/paintingthestream, you can support this podcast at $5 a month. We keep it very, very simple. You get an ad-free version of the podcast each and every week. And also, I want to say...
Ooh, his finger's coming
my
out.
My finger went up because this is a, hey, talk about... Hey, it's November, eh? Right? We can talk about timely
stuff. It's November,
stuff
eh?
Yes. So... Another thing that helps out, the Patreon helps a ton if you just want to support the podcast and help us keep the lights on and all that stuff. But it also, since we want to have the like deepest, library of possible things to talk about on the show, the Patreon definitely helps us with things like Disney Plus is about to come out. And so, you know, we will happily sign up for that because there's probably stuff on there that people are going to want to hear about. You know, mm-hmm. The Mandalorian, I'm sure they're going to introduce lots of original shows in the future. So through supporting us through Patreon, it makes it real easy for us to be like, oh, yeah, we should sign up to this stuff and bring new things to cover to Painting the Stream. So thank you all who support us.
Thank you, everyone.
Help make this podcast and everything about it possible. And on top of that $5 ad-free business you get there with the podcast, you also get...
Smooth.
That's what my PR copy says here. Marketing, I don't know why they insisted our marketing team. It's our marketing.
We have to have the Patreon to employ our marketing team.
Yes, yes.
Who writes this amazing copy.
Yes. you also get a Bonku. Bonku comes straight from Bonker. Holy shit. Right when I said the word Bonku, his head just like popped up.
He knows that the end is near.
He knows Bonku is like a code word for us being almost done. Like he was resting his head on the bed and I said Bonku and he shot up.
Resting his head on the bed and you said
Bonku.
Bonku.
That is, man, Razor, you know. All right.
The Raven.
Well,
Bonku.
Razor, you like Bonkus, apparently, and we hope you at home enjoy the Bonkus coming straight to you. We read one every episode to a new patron, Bonk.
This Bonku is for one named Edward.
That's a weird way to say something.
No.
This is for the one who calls himself Edward.
Well, I assume that's what he calls himself. I mean, that's what he put in the name field. That I got.
That'd be a weird thing if that's not his name.
Well, someone gave like a screen name and I had to Bonku my way around that one.
Well, you're a genius at this.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, Edward, I'm here to take a moment, toast to Edward and his support, and we really appreciate you. I appreciate that, you know, you're just going with Edward, putting your foot down on Ed, Eddie, all that nonsense.
Right, right.
Remember Ed, Edwin, and Eddie?
That was a little after my time. I was a cool older kid when that was out.
Yeah, I remember the guy who made the opening for that, like the either the opening cinematic or the music or the theme song, was like shot dead on the street in Canada.
Jesus.
And there's like police recording of it. Like he was crawling and a policeman just shot him in the head.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he died. He was having some kind of episode and they just killed him. So
holy shit.
Yeah, it's That's really horrifying. Tragic. It's really horrifying. But anyway, Edward, this is about you.
Jeez.
And here's your Bonku. No man or woman could threaten Edward into an early ascent.
Whoa.
Yeah, he is steadfast in his beliefs.
Edward is?
And you can't bully him into changing them. He's
really?
Never going to agree with the likes of you.
Okay.
Because he's strong-willed and, he's a headstrong young man, and we really appreciate him.
Wow, yes, Edward, you sound like quite the character.
Do you have a recommendation? Because even if you don't, I would like to share one.
A recommendation. I did not think about it, but I will think about it while you say yours.
Okay. See the movie Parasite if it's playing
in
theaters.
Yeah.
I can't stop thinking about it. We saw it like a week ago, and I can't stop thinking about it. It's a really good movie.
It's really good, and like I enjoyed watching it, and at times I was like, can we get away with just talking about Parasite on an episode of the podcast? And no, it's called Painting the Stream. We should probably stick to streaming services, but goddamn it, it's fun to talk about that movie. And
it's really good. It's by Bong Joon-ho, who also directed Snowpiercer, movie that we covered a few weeks ago.
Yes.
I think that Parasite is way, way better than Snowpiercer. It's one of those movies that makes you think, and it's like seamlessly goes like switches tone from like comedy to horror movie to like just crazy bonkers bloody stuff.
Yeah, it takes turns
spoil anything,
for sure.
But yeah, it's just fun to watch.
If you're at all interested, I would just go in kind of blind because we did. We just heard like a lot of hype mm-hmm. around it and decided to see it, and it paid off for
Definitely.
Sure.
Definitely,
it was really good. I'll recommend. I got a piece of pesto pizza the other night. And
pesto
that was,
pizza?
It was really good. It was pesto pizza.
Oh, yum.
I went to a place called Rocky's down near Chelsea, maybe, by the High Line. And I got a big old piece of pesto pizza late at night with some buds that were in town.
That sounds yummy.
And it tasted very, very good. So find that if you got it. Guess that's it.
That's it, my love.
We, as always, you can email us at panningthestream@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at panthestream and find out what's coming up next Sunday on the podcast. And, we'll plan some fun stuff for the rest of this year here before we move into 2020. But, hey, you know what they say. It's November, right?
It's November, eh?
It sure is November, eh?
It's November, eh?
Is it fun to say? We can't always, like, let's get it out of our system now. We can't always say when it is.
My brothers just left on tour. They're on a national tour. Thank you, Scientist, and the Tea Club. I have two brothers, and each of them, one of them's in each band, and they're going to be on tour together. So if you see that show, be sure to say, hey, I like Bianca's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll probably be like, all right, whatever.
Tommy is he's been a guest on the what was it, Miami Connection episode.
Miami Connection, he does the theme song.
Yeah, you're probably hearing that right about now. So yeah, go say hi to Tom and Dan and
Nationwide tour.
Check them out. I think they're swinging through Minneapolis at some point here, right?
Yes, they are.
Oh, speaking of a little suggestion, our your friend of mine, Ben Hansen, launched his own thing, Min Max. On Patreon there. So he's covering video games.
Minimum bullshit, maximum fun.
That's their catchphrase. Ben was adamant that that was their catchphrase. It's on every shirt they sell. But no, good group of guys over there. So check them out if you want to see some cool dudes in Minnesota talk about video games. But that's it for us. Thank you all to listen. Thank you all to support on the Patreon. Thank you, Razor, for being a good boy. Bonk.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
I love you.
I love you.
Goodbye, everyone. We love you, too.
Goodbye.